Today is Tuesday, November the 8th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have a question for Dr. Shah, anything you'd like for us to talk about on the show, you can send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. You can follow Dr. Shah on his website, abhinandshah.com, and you can support us financially here at Clearview Today by visiting clearviewtodayshow.com. You'll find a link, a button to give there, and every donation that you make goes to fostering this partnership where we can team up together with you and get the gospel out to as many people as possible.
That's right. That's right. And you guys can help keep this conversation in the airwaves by supporting this podcast. Number one, you can like us on iTunes. You can give us a 5-star review. Every single one of those reviews help because it keeps the conversation forward. It keeps the conversation up in the air and it pushes the gospel forward. See, iTunes works like that, where the more reviews, the more people are talking about it, the more that they push it towards the top. So leaving those reviews is important. Leaving those 5-star reviews, especially, don't be cute. You know, don't give us a 1-star review because I said to take a cold shower. By the way, Rachel from North Carolina.
I was going
to
say, yeah. you got some backup on the cold shower thing.
Love you,
for
Rachel.
For those of you who aren't familiar with that, at the end of our shows, we have last minute advice. John's advice 1 week was to take a cold shower or end your shower with cold water. It wasn't a cold shower totally.
No, end it with cold water. Just kind of chilly. It feels good on the back of your head. And Rachel said what?
Rachel said, totally agree with the cold water at the end of the shower. It's good for your health.
There you go. I knew it was good for your health,
well,
Rachel.
That's why I said it. Good
for
your health.
But you guys can definitely help us out by reviewing the show on iTunes, sharing it, Spotify, listen to it on the Truth Network, listen to it on, you know, one of the dozens of radio stations that we're on and talking about it,
yeah,
spreading it.
Absolutely. Anywhere you can find Christian radio, anywhere you can find digital podcasts, right, anything like that. Today's verse of the day, also a recommendation from Rachel.
We've added
it to our regular rotation. Today's verse of the day comes from Psalm 25 and it's verses 9 and 10. The humble he guides in justice and the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I love that. I love that balance between mercy and truth because that's the gospel.
That's the heart of what we're doing here, yep, on Clearview Today. You know, we want to tell the truth. At the same time, we want to be compassionate. Those things don't have to be in conflict. In fact, Jesus showed us that,
yeah,
they can't be apart.
Yeah. In fact, I was going to say, in fact, they shouldn't be in conflict. They,
right,
should be held together.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So John, I have to ask you, I saw you walk into the studio today with something in your hand. Why did you bring pumpkin pie? Hold on, this is very important. I thought this was pumpkin spice coffee creamer. This is not. This is pumpkin pie coffee creamer.
Nobody wants spicy coffee.
That's an important distinction. We've talked about coffee creamer on the show, and
it's
John, you've
focus,
you've introduced us to some I feel like gourmet flavors.
I feel like
of
I'm
coffee creamer.
I feel like I'm a connoisseur when it comes to coffee creamers. I feel like I don't know if I'm like a tastemaker or a trendsetter, but definitely I think I'm at least a connoisseur.
Okay.
As you know, I threw a legendary hissy, and I even toned it down for the podcast, for the radio show, but I threw a hissy about Walmart not having blueberry creamer year round. I thought that was a personal insult. But my wife actually picked up this pumpkin pie coffee creamer, and I felt like it was almost just as good. I mean, it's seasonal, of course, but...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Oh. Why did that happen?
Oh, it's thick.
It's coffee creamer.
Oh,
of course
thick.
It's thick.
Oh.
I'm very
shouldn't
uncomfortable.
Have done that.
I did not enjoy
shouldn't have done that
at all.
But this stuff has been really rocking me this fall. Usually I kind of dread fall, but pumpkin pie coffee creamer. I would say, and this is not last minute advice, but I would suggest you guys pick some of this up.
Yeah. And it's is that Walmart brand? Yeah, I see the
it's great value.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to try some?
I don't want to try some directly out of the bottle. Yikes. I wouldn't.
It tastes good in coffee, but it doesn't taste good on air.
It's not made to be a beverage. It's made to be,
yeah,
an addition to a beverage.
Yeah.
Yikes. Oh, well, let me change the subject quickly from that.
No, my stomach hurts, man.
I'm getting a little nauseous as you drink out of the coffee creamer bottle.
I don't feel good.
Today is election day. You know, we've been doing everything we can to keep the conversation up in the air, but today is the day, and we want you guys to get out there and vote. You know, hopefully by the time you're hearing this episode, you have already voted, depending on when this episode is airing where you are.
Right.
We're going to bring Dr. Shaw in the studio in just a few minutes to talk with us about Election Day, about voting, about the importance of this. But if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, things you'd like for us to talk about, you can send us a text at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We're going to get Dr. Shaw and we'll be right back.
What will people say about you when the crisis is over? Will they say that you lived out what you proclaimed all your life? Will they say that your actions matched your confession? Ultimately, what will God say about you? Not only that, but as a Christian, are you being a lighthouse for others during the storm? Dr. Abhinav Shah and his wife, Nicole, have composed a book of 30 daily devotions to help you navigate your faith through whatever crisis you may be facing. The book is called 30 Days Through a Crisis, Daily Devotions to Navigate Your Faith. Our prayer is that as you read this book, God will guide and strengthen you through his word into the image of his son by the Holy Spirit. That's 30 Days Through a Crisis, and you can pick up your copy on Amazon right now. Let us know how it's helped you by emailing us at info@clearviewbc.org. And don't forget, you can also support what we're doing at Clearview by visiting us at clearviewbc.org/give. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinav Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or recommendations for things for us to talk about, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shah's with us in the studio today. Dr. Shah, how are you today?
Well, I'm anxious in a way, being Election Day.
Yes,
some jitters in the air.
Yeah. So, but Nicole and I already voted last week. We love the early elections. Mm-hmm. Go get it done. Mm-hmm. So we're done. And I know you guys went yesterday.
Ellie and I went yesterday. It was good. It was a long line, but a lot of people out there, which was encouraging. It's discouraging to be like, oh man, I got to wait in this line. But then it's like, well, a lot of people are here. They're voting. They're doing their duty. So
that's a great point. Like the longer the line is, you're just like, okay, people are taking this seriously.
Yeah.
People are actually going out and voting.
That's right.
I feel
like you hear oftentimes like no one goes out and votes anymore and then complains about the election results. Right. So to see people turning out in numbers, Elizabeth and I went yesterday as well.
That's awesome.
To see people turning out in numbers to vote. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the line was wrapped. When we got there, the line was wrapped around like the build. So like the building is here. What, you can't see it from the radio, but just imagine a building. Yeah. And there was people wrapped around and then back around to where the cars were.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I mean, it was a lot of people.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
You good?
I was waiting on you to take your line.
Oh, my line. I forgot my line.
I was gonna give it to you, but you know what,
after yesterday's debacle, I just kind of assumed that was your thing.
You just
now.
Gave up on
yeah,
it.
You were looking at me. If you guys are joining us for the first time, if you've never been seen the show before, never listened to it before, unfamiliar with Dr. Shah's work, Dr. Abhinav Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. He's a professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and he's the host of today's show.
See, you do it so well.
I practice in front of the mirror every night before bed.
Right.
Yeah. And I was practicing in line yesterday when we were
just to yourself.
I was like, my co-host stole my line today, sir. Could I please?
Can I run this by you?
He was like, sir, I'm in the booth. Get out of here.
Well, we've said it already. Today is Election Day. So we want to open up the conversation and really just talk about this whole idea of elections, voting, why this is important, why this matters, and how we as believers and as Americans should feel about the voting process. Mm-hmm. Dr. Shah, what are your thoughts on this whole, you know, the idea of elections, getting out there and voting? How should we approach this conversation?
Well, I think just from my observation, it's similar to previous elections where people have a sense of, you know, either reminiscing over the past and how things used to be or how good things were, or a sense of resignation that I'm kind of done with it. I don't want to deal with it. Or even a retreat, which is I'm just going to, you know, I just love Jesus and that's all I care about. The end times are here. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I believe none of those reactions are appropriate as a Christian and as an American citizen.
Right.
And I'm grateful because a lot of people are very optimistic of where these elections are headed. And hopefully we'll see a good turnaround of Christian values in our nation.
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely.
It's one of those weird things where people it's almost like young people are way too young to be this cynical about America.
Right, yeah.
You know, I've heard people say that, you know, America's best day, even though I didn't live to see them, America's best days are over. You know, it's all going to be just downhill from here.
Right. And that's just not right.
Right.
You know, let's back up for a moment. People often make this very unfair comparison between America and Rome. Mm. You know how Rome sort of fell. Rome was one of the wealthiest countries or empires, if you will, with the largest military, largest multi-ethnic population.
Mm-hmm.
And then look what happened to Rome.
Right.
Rome sort of got corrupt from the inside. It was just a matter of time when the barbarians knocked on the door, the doors fell backwards, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they say. But yeah, we have problems similar to what Rome did with the moral problems, with the breakdown of the families, too many weird laws and restrictions and lawsuits. And I mean, yes, there are a lot of similarities.
Right.
But when people make that comparison between Rome and America, it's a very, very unfair comparison because Rome was not founded on biblical values.
Right, right.
Rome was sort of founded, I would even say, kind of on a Greek foundation, learning from Greek philosophy, democracy, republic, learning from them and kind of making it their own. Rome had that penchant for borrowing from cultures and making it Roman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But America was founded very differently.
Right.
Right? So if we are founded on this Judeo-Christian foundation, then we're not headed the same way Rome was headed.
Right.
Or ultimately went.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, it's just almost a, I mean, I guess it is, it's a fallacy where you can find comparisons between any two things, but to say that those comparisons are strong enough to where they're the same thing and it, you can predict, but based on what happened here, I can predict what's happening right. here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like there's way more differences between America and Rome than there are similarities.
I mean, bottom line difference is in Rome, church and Christians had no voice.
True.
Yeah. And very in true. America, Christianity is the foundation and Christians still have a strong voice, or at least Christian values are still valued in America.
Right. Right. That's true.
So I think the comparison is unfair and I don't think we need to necessarily just reminisce over the past glory of America.
Yeah.
No, I think our best days are ahead. We need to keep looking that way.
Do you feel like that's something that happens among older people, like that they just spend their time thinking about how much better it was?
Yeah, I mean, it's natural.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess so.
We all have the idea that we're the last one standing, yeah. right?
Back in my True. Day.
Yeah, back in my right. day, I remember when gas cost a nickel,
yeah.
and who I voted for actually won. I can see that kind of being the attitude of...
And that's true. There's some extent, there's a lot that we will lose with each generation.
Right.
But then there are lots we're going to gain too. And we have to make sure that we keep sharing those values with our children, our grandchildren, of what America is and what we stand for and the positives and also the negatives that we need to work on.
Right.
You know, so we're not here just with blinders on our eyes thinking that, oh, it's all good. It's all wonderful. No, there are things we have to work on.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so nothing wrong with admitting that. But we don't have to just live in the past.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, especially as I'm thinking about my kids. My kids are all, you know, on the younger side of things, elementary age and down, and thinking about how to communicate with this to them that, you know, this is, we don't live in a perfect nation. There is no perfect nation.
Right.
We don't live in a perfect country, but we do live in a great nation.
That's right.
And here are some things that we can be grateful for, and here are some things that we need to work on.
That's right. As an immigrant, you know, I always wanted to go see the important sites in America.
Mm-hmm.
Sites that I heard about as a little kid. Believe it or not, I heard about Jamestown, read about Jamestown.
Wow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In our history books, we had to read the story of America, the colony that got lost, you know, Roanoke Colony, and then Jamestown Colony, and the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and the pilgrims that came.
Wow.
That's interesting because
I don't know why that's surprising to me. I mean, but
we don't really have to learn about the history of other countries unless America is directly involved.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But see, we learn about the Civil War growing up and what Abraham Lincoln did and all this. I mean, this was part of our history books.
Wow. That is surprising to me.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
and right down to the times that I grew up in India, you know, going to school in the 70s and the 80s. So history up until that point, just a little bit about the Cold War that's going on. But unfortunately, at the time, India was pro-Russia. So we were looking at it from another perspective.
a different spin on things.
Albeit Christians did not agree with that perspective. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it that way. We were not happy that Pakistan and United States were, you know, united, and then India and Russia were one. Mm-hmm. You know, we are in solidarity. Christians didn't like that.
Yeah, I guess I can see why.
Yeah,
because communism is atheism. It's not what we want.
Mm-hmm. Was when you were growing up, did people vote in India? Was it?
Oh yes,
it was a democracy. Like yes. Where? Okay.
Yes. Of course, there were election problems.
Right.
Like we have seen this whole sabotaging the elections is nothing new.
Right.
If you read about Indian history going back to the time of Indira Gandhi, there was an emergency declared in India because the votes were the stolen.
They turn up missing.
There was some craziness that went on.
Yeah,
and of course, you know, she declared emergency, stopped the whole process, and still to this day, you know, there's a lot of controversy over. Was it the other side that did this? Yeah. Or was it Indira Gandhi herself? I mean, we don't know for sure.
Wow, these votes coming up short.
What's happening here?
Suspicious.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all got something missing.
So, you know, but again, Congress Party at the time in India was very pro-Christian. And we were very grateful for them. So,
you know, it's funny that you mentioned that kind of corruption, because I think that's something that we're starting to see here in America now, especially among a lot of young people, where there's this almost resignation of just like, I don't care anymore. The politics are a waste of time.
Yeah, what's the point?
The government is evil. Anyway. We all know that the Republicans are evil. Democrats are evil. Everybody in charge is evil. I'm out.
Yeah.
And I guess this just, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. The young people of today are just too young for this kind of cynicism.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I understand where they're coming from. I do understand, because there's a sense of uncertainty and a sense of, you know, lack of vision. Mm-hmm. Who's leading us? Where are we headed? Mm-hmm. What are the promises these politicians make? Are they going to keep those promises? So I understand that, but still, we cannot just wash our hands off.
Right.
We have to get involved. I mean, I've told that to our children. You know, hey, you need to be involved in politics. You need to vote. Maybe even run for offices.
Yeah.
I've talk to all four of our kids at different points, you know, maybe run for office one day or work in some kind of position that may impact our nation for good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've taken them to historical sites. I mean, talk about Washington, D.C. We took a trip all up and down the mall, went to the White House, didn't go inside the White House, but went to the White House. And then I remember Thomas's sandals tore off, so we had to makeshift the sandal. Was it yours, Nicholas? Oh, man, I remember that.
And yours tore off? Wow.
Yeah, he was just like hobbling around.
Got a flat tire as I'm walking around.
Yeah. They went to the Washington Monument, and then the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial. Of course, we even went to some of the museums on the left and right. Oh, we had such a good time.
Yeah.
It was a hot day.
I can imagine.
It was so hot. It was over 100 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet.
But we were just drinking water and keep on trucking.
Yeah. Yep.
All those people there too, hot and crowded.
Well, it wasn't that crowded, to be honest. No, it was not that crowded.
Okay.
It was in the summer, but there were some people out there. But it was great for us to teach our children, hey, look, this is America. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have a lot of work to do, but hey, this is a great country.
Mm-hmm.
And we've taken them to, of course, Jamestown like 5-6 times through schools, but we've been to Williamsburg, and we've taken them to the, you know, Manassas, went down the Shenandoah Valley, took them to, you know, some of the museums there. I mean, just, and then of course we've been out west in different places, just finding ways to help them appreciate this great nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that active role that you and Nicole have taken is so crucial. It's so important in communicating the importance of treasuring what this country is and having an active role in shaping this country, letting your voice be heard. Yes, there are issues. Yes, there are things we need to work on. Yes, you know, even in the election specifically, there are some concerns that people have. But if we don't get out there and vote.
I mean, you can't wash your hands of it.
Exactly.
Right.
Do you ever get Christians trying to do that? Like, look, no matter who's in the office, Jesus is my president. So
yeah, that too. Or the end times are here.
Hmm.
Yep.
And I agree. We are closer to the end than we were before.
Right.
Automatically, logically, we're closer to the end. But I think we are very close to the end. Mm-hmm. I do believe it's getting wild and wicked out there.
Yeah.
But it could also mean that sometimes God sends a revival at the last minute to give people a chance mm-hmm. to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
So we should never pack up our bags in such a way that we cannot unpack and quickly help people.
Yeah.
That's right? A great way to put that. What a great visual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I just think back to what if your Christian ancestors had thought, because they thought they were in the end times too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, your Christian grandparents and their great-great-grandparents, what if they had felt the same way?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to vote because whoever wins or whoever's in office, Jesus is still king. So right. No need to even worry with it.
And I believe that. I believe Jesus is Lord and Jesus is King of Kings.
Right.
But he's also called us to be the salt and light. He's mm-hmm. called us to make a difference wherever we are. And Christians throughout the history of the world, or the people of God, I should say, mm-hmm. wherever they were, they made that place a better place for God.
Yep.
I would say more specifically for Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They made that place a better place for Christ.
Yeah.
For the gospel. And that's what we should do.
That's right. How do you think we're supposed to live as Christians then? Let's say, you know, we vote our biblical values, and yet, as we've seen in the past, in the very recent past, a lot of times it doesn't pan out the way that we right. want to. You know, because we talked about this this comply but resist sort of language. Is there a correct way to view it?
Yeah, we have to start thriving in exile.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that tomorrow
as
well.
Yes, we will. Mm-hmm. We have to start seeing ourselves like Daniel,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego,
mm-hmm.
Like Esther, like Nehemiah. They're powerful examples of godly men and women who were in a place where godly values or the living true God was not worshipped. Mm-hmm. And yet they shone, and they shone brightly
mm-hmm.
for the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So my prayer is that we will have the reign of King David or,
yeah.
or Solomon, right?
Yeah.
We have great people in office. What a great turnaround. What a wonderful thing. Okay, great. But if it doesn't, that's okay. We're going to shine another way.
Yep. Mm. Yep. And it makes me think of our discussions that you and I have been having recently about this whole power shift during Samuel's time, you know, shifting from the judges to the kings. I don't know how much we want to reveal now because it may be a couple of years away, but we're working on a very big project as far as Samuel goes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking about like this, the way that culture and power shifts and how God showed us through Samuel, how that can be done and done well.
Yes, you know? Exactly. To have an understanding of the Bible in mm-hmm. one hand
mm-hmm.
and the understanding of politics and how power shifts and powers move and kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and how we as Christians need to be wise
mm-hmm.
and effective in these times, how can we be like a Daniel of whom was said, there's a man in whom is the Spirit of God?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, he has the wisdom of the gods in him. We need more men and women, boys and girls like Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
We need men and women, boys and girls like Esther, you know, with the courage to go before the king and fight for her people.
Yeah.
Right? So I would say these are exciting times.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Christians cannot lose faith, cannot mm-hmm. lose heart, cannot lose hope. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of hope. So we don't talk in a sense of hopelessness, like, it's all over, it's done, man. It's, you know, just kind of, it is what it is.
Yeah.
No, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of hope, and hope is more than wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a promise of a better day coming.
That's right. Maybe we have some people who are listening or some people who are watching who have young people in their life. Maybe they're, their own kids, or maybe they work with students. What encouragement would you give to them in order to captivate this generation that's coming up to be involved in politics, to let their beliefs shape the way that they vote? What encouragement would you offer those people?
I would say exactly what John was talking about, this project that we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Of the change and the shift in the structure from judges to kings,
mm-hmm.
it's so interesting.
It is. It is. It really is.
So interesting, and it has so much more packed into those verses than we realize. We just read them as stories of, you know, Hannah having a little, you know, a dilemma that she cannot have children, and then she cries, and God gives her a child, and she gives a child back to the tabernacle, and then he's raised as the next priest. No, there's so much more that is taking place, the shift of power and how people were positioning themselves, and all under God's direction to bring the nation under one rule.
Right.
And that rule was the king that God would appoint. Of course, the people jumped the gun and put someone like Saul in power. And it was a disaster from the beginning. But then how God turned things around and David became the king, but ultimately with the goal of the Messiah king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The God's anointed king. So I would strongly encourage people, maybe sometimes put down the newspaper and read the Bible.
Right, right.
Right.
I mean, it's encouraged me. You know, you and I have been talking about this Samuel thing for almost a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Like almost every day we've been talking about it. And it's encouraged me because it reminds me that God didn't bring this change about, you know, just willing. He didn't get all these priests together and then say, all right, guys, here's what's going to happen. We're going to lay out the plan. Here's how it's going to work. You know, he didn't just pull a king out of the ground. It came through sorrow and suffering. They had to go
through mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. And the people at the time, they weren't like, you know, I'm sure they were like, oh, Israel's done for. We as a people are done. But once they got through it and once they got back on God's plan, David came, it encourages me because I remember that God is still working and moving in America. He's not done until he says he's done.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And even when David came to power, he was not the perfect king.
That's true.
He made terrible mistakes.
That's true.
Nonetheless, it proved that only one king is a rightful, true, righteous king, and that's God's son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. So.
Absolutely. Hopefully, by the time you have heard this episode, you've already gone out to vote. Depending on when this airs, the voting day, election day may have already been over, may have already passed, but we hope that you had a chance to go out there to the polls, vote your convictions, vote your conscience. If you have any questions about how you can get more involved, how you can be more equipped, better educated on what's going on, send us a text at 252-582-5028, or you can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget, at that same website, clearviewtodayshow.com, you can support us financially. You
absolutely
can partner with us. That's the terminology we want to use. You can partner with us, become a team member with us in reaching the nations for the gospel.
Well, we've already seen so many partners coming together and coming alongside us and supporting us financially. And it's just supporting us with their encouragement. Do you want to read the text that we got from Mike S this week?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you guys told me about this. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So Mike has written in before, but he texted again, messaged us again. He said, good morning. Longtime Clearview Today listener here with you since the beginning. And what he's talking about there is before Clearview Today, back in Carpe Mignana.
We were on a show called Carpe Mignana.
So he's listened since the beginning. He said, first week in the books, smooth sailing from here.
Very cool. Yay. Very cool.
Just thank you, Mike. Gave us kind of a smiley face in the text.
Still with us
as well.
In week three, my friend.
That's right. Thank you so much, Mike. That's awesome. John, as we go, do you have any last minute advice for us?
I do. This one is for... this one's for the musicians, specifically guitar players.
Oh, okay.
And I hate to even cast anybody out, but if you're not a guitar player...
What are you doing?
Turn off the podcast. Yeah. Actually, start playing guitar. So I have in my hand, this is something called a cut capo. This has revolutionized the way that I play guitar because normally, do you have a...
For those who may not know it, can you explain what the capo itself does?
So here's a regular capo. This is basically you put it across the headboard of your guitar and it just clamps down the strings. So if you're lazy, you don't have to learn different keys. You play the same shapes no matter what. So if I'm in like... if I'm playing open, I'm playing a G chord. If I put it on the second fret, I go up two steps, which is A. So a regular capo is just a way to make guitar players lazy. The cut capo is a way to make your life even lazier because you can see it's shorter. And so what this thing does is it clamps down three of the strings. It leaves the top one open and the bottom two open. So you can literally play chords with one finger, just a single finger. Especially it puts your guitar in the key of E, and then from there you can pair it with two. But what I love about it is it's literally just no effort at all. You put one finger per string and you're playing like very rich open chords. This is a saving grace for lazy guitar players. Absolutely. You don't have to learn theory. You don't have to learn nothing. Just buy a cut capo on Amazon. I'm not going to link in the description, but get one of these. You will be very thankful you did.
There you go. All right. And if you're not playing guitar, start playing guitar.
Yeah, start playing guitar, right, obviously.
Awesome. Cool. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.